Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truths. Looking forward to diving into a brand new chapter today, chapter number 8. I think I mentioned a couple episodes ago that we were in our missions conference here at Faith Baptist Church, which honestly is our favorite week of the year. Just love it. And one of my best friends in the world and somebody with whom I have been sharing missions conferences for many, many years is Dr. Don Sisk. And Dr. Sisk is with us today. Dr. Sisk, good to have you.
It's great to be here. It's always great to be with you, Brother Kelly. And it's great to be at Faith Baptist Church. God's doing some great and wonderful things.
Amen. Dr. Sisk spoke last night on just the joy of serving the Lord and the joy of being in missions work. And he certainly embodies that joy to me and to really to all those that he comes in contact with. We're talking about another great leader in the Bible in chapter 8, Samuel. And in chapter 7, with Brother Folger last episode, we talked about the importance of finishing strong, the fact that Samuel had lived his whole life serving God, traveling from place to place, preaching the word of God, building an altar to God, keeping himself close to the Lord. And Dr. Sisk, I thought, how appropriate. You know, here Samuel now has lived his life. He's up in years. And the Bible's going to give us the last few episodes in his life. And it just shows the importance of finishing strong. Wow. Because we're going to see some things.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So let me read the verses. Dr. Sisk, I'm really interested in your comments on this first section. Because it says, it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel. The name of his second, Abiah or Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment.
Sad.
It really is sad. Yeah. You know, what do you make
after
of that?
After all of those years of faithfully serving God himself, and yet somewhere along the line he missed it with his boys, or maybe he taught them well and they just diverted from that. But the sad thing is that in spite of the fact, and evidently he knew what they were doing right.
It seems like it.
Yeah. But he turned that work over to them. That's a bad transition, huh?
It's a bad transition. Yeah. It's a bad transition. And I can't help but think it's what Samuel saw as a boy. Because when Samuel came to the house of God, when his mother Hannah brought him there, he served under Eli. That's what Eli did. Eli was a good man. Eli loved the Lord.
Wonderful.
But he just didn't restrain his own sons.
Yeah.
And you wonder if that pattern just didn't repeat itself right there in Samuel's life, because he never had, and I'm not making excuses for him, but he never had a model in his life of a dad who properly raised his boys.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think, and I'm not, I don't want to surmise where the Bible's silent, but do you think some of it is just, you know, Samuel traveled around all the time. He didn't have time for his family, didn't prioritize them. I don't know. But what I do know is this is an awful reflection of a good man's life.
It is. And a man that we know used to say, I sacrificed my family for the ministry. I don't think God expects us to do that, Brother Skelly. You know, God gives us some responsibilities for the family. And I don't think there's a conflict in being faithful to God in a ministry and being faithful and accountable to your family and so forth.
Dr. Sisk, you're 88 years of age as of the time of this recording. And
that's a big age.
That's a big age. So,
hey, Doc, it's somebody said to me not long ago at my birthday, they said, Brother says birthdays are just a number. And I said, yeah, 88's a big number, though. Yeah.
Well, Wanda and I came down and celebrated your birthday with you.
Hey, man, a few days. That was wonderful. Thank you.
We enjoyed that. So, Dr. Sisk, you have lived, I think it's safe to say, most of your life already. Most of your life is probably behind you.
I think
now,
so.
If God gives you another 88 years, I'll swallow those words. But, you know, you've raised a great family. It's been my privilege to know your children, both of whom are older than I, and both of whom I respect so greatly. Just spend a moment and talk about investing in your kids and just even how God has used Tim and Renee in the way that he has.
Yeah, and no, I guess, Brother Skelly, all of us feel like this. I feel like I should have spent more time, particularly with my daughter, you know. And when we were in Japan, I was so busy. But we'd take every Saturday morning as family time. And we'd go bowling or we'd just go hiking or, you know, just do whatever they like to do. And we'd always fix a good Kentucky breakfast, you know. Eggs and sausage and gravy and chocolate gravy. Have you ever had chocolate gravy?
I've never had
chocolate. Oh, you're going to have to do that sometime. Okay. But we'd have a good time together as a family. And of course, they were with us continually in the services. And, you know, we used to go to Kentucky, and some of our family would say, well, you know, you make them go to church, you know, three times a week. We never made our kids go to church. You know, they knew we were going, but there was never a conflict. Are we going or are we not going, and so forth. But they'd say, you know, you don't let them do this, you don't let them do that. When they get older, they'll all turn away from that. The strange thing was, when the kids got older and they turned out well, we'd go home and they'd say, oh, y'all are lucky. I don't think it's a matter of luck. Actually, Brother Skelly, I often say for our children, and they are wonderful children. God's used them a wonderful way. And I often say, I give God all of the glory and Virginia all the credit.
Amen.
But she was, you know, she was good. But there were times when I did not spend as much time with them as I thought. But we always tried to spend time with them. And it's just a blessing. To see them, the way they grew up and so forth. And I'm not bragging about this because it's all by the grace of God, okay? But I never had a real serious problem with either one of them.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Now, there were some times I had to correct them, things of that nature, sure, okay? But, you know, never any teacher saying, hey, they're a troublemaker or they're not cooperative, they're not interested. No. Never anything like that.
So, and I want you listeners to know that Tim Sisk and Brother Sisk's daughter, Renee, they love God, and they're both in full-time ministry, and they spend their life ultimately getting the gospel to other people. It really, generationally, you see that legacy. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I give God all the glory.
Amen. Amen.
And
to that point, Dr. Sisk, in verse 3, it says that his sons walk not in his ways. So at the end of the day, my friends, we do raise our children, and we raise them to love the Lord. We raise them to follow the Lord. And the simple statement of Scripture is that when these boys were of adult age, they chose not to walk in the ways of dad. Yeah. So the implication there is they saw that dad was serving God.
Yeah.
They knew that God that Samuel's priorities were right, and they chose not to emulate him. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, we'll kind of lay all the credit or all the blame at the feet of a parent whose adult children are not serving God.
Right.
But we do have to remember, right? It's not fair. I think we do have to remember that people have their own free will, and they can make those choices.
Exactly, and they do. And you know, and we've seen it. Okay, I'm thinking now of a missionary family of five kids. Four of them turned out great. I mean, they were all in full-time Christian ministry. They loved the Lord. They loved God. You know, they served God. And one of them was a rebel from day one. Mm-hmm. I mean, from the time he got out of high school, it was just one problem after another. And far as I know, never got right with God.
You know? Look at the ways here in verse 3 by which the children of Samuel violated or did not walk according to his ways. The Bible says they turned aside after lucre. So they turned aside. You'll see that term used often in the New Testament, turned aside after vain jangling. They detoured. They took the wrong exit. They were allured by money and stuff. And wow, did not Paul tell us that the love of money is the root of all evil? And Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And boy, it got them, didn't it?
It did. You know, and you think of Demas, you know.
Mm.
And great men of God, evidently, Father Paul had one of some of the greatest opportunities. But he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world.
Mm.
And some people say, well, wonder what happened to Demas? He might have become a millionaire.
That's a good point.
He was a miserable millionaire.
Yeah. Huh? Wow.
You got time for a real serious story?
I do.
Okay, when I was home on furlough, I was with Bill Kellogg in Henderson, Kentucky. And just across the river is Evansville, Indiana. And Brother Kellogg said, hey, Brother Sis, we're going over to a restaurant. Said the owner used to be a preacher. And we passed by his house. It was a mansion, you know. And we got to the restaurant, parked next to his car, a brand new Coupe de Ville Cadillac, baby blue, beautiful, you know. And so the restaurant owner came over and sat down with us, and we were chatting around and so forth. And the strangest thing, Brother Kurt, he looked at me and he said, Brother Sis, I'd give anything in the world to have what you've got.
Mm.
You know my first thought? I wouldn't mind having some of the things you've got. We were living in a basement apartment up in Illinois that the Griffins had prepared for us. I was driving a 10-year-old Oldsmobile Cutlass, you know. But the first thought, why would somebody that owned a mansion like that, a brand new Coupe de Ville Cadillac, owner of a big restaurant, say to a missionary, by the way, that couldn't have paid for our meal that day if I had to, I'd give. One time he had that, okay? But he chose lucre, just like these, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the deceitfulness of riches, oh. The Bible says it's the deceitfulness of riches. You think you're going to get what you want, but here's the deceitfulness of it. Ready? You think you're going to get what you want, but you never want what you get. And man, these sons of Samuel made a crucial and vital mistake. Well, we're gonna come back to this section next episode. So kind of keep your mind engaged in this, because when you follow money, then you'll do the things that brings you money, like taking bribes and perverting justice and judgment in favor of those bribes. I mean, wow, it was a slippery slope that they slid down. And we're going to look at how they dealt with these boys, but we'll have to look at that next episode. Thanks for joining us today. Have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.